My dear friends in Christ, how often it happens that when we're told that we're going to have to welcome a guest into our home, that we're forced into a kind of frenzy to prepare the place for them, whether that's cooking dinner, or sweeping the floor, or cleaning a room and making a bed. Usually there's something we have to do, and we have to usually do it pretty quickly. Here at the church, we experience this on a massive scale this time of year, with the many events that we do, ordinations, priest retreats, priest meetings, girls' camp, many other things. Speaking for myself, and this is what I have been doing all week, these experiences can be quite stressful. Meritorious, but stressful. But when everything is said and done, it can also be helpful. Because over the years, we amass a lot of clutter, things that we don't really need, furniture, gadgets, books, whatever that may be. They take up space unnecessarily. Some things fall into disrepair or need to be cleaned up, but we hardly notice it, or perhaps we even ignore it. Perhaps there's some sun-bleached curtains, or a bed sheet with a hole in it, or a dresser that's begun to precariously lean to one side. But when we have to prepare the place for our guest, our perspective changes. There's going to be another set of eyes set upon this place. It changes our perspective. It gives us the impetus to finally get something done. So it is on the natural level, but it is even more true on the supernatural level. The church gives us the seasons of Advent and Lent to prepare for two of the greatest feasts of the year, Christmas and Easter, respectively. These are the times where we look to ourselves and ask ourselves if we're living as we ought as Catholics. We get rid of the spiritual clutter in our hearts, our attachments to the world, our sinful habits, our failures or a lack of generosity in the service of God. We fix this by giving some things up, by practicing mortifications, by praying extra in order to atone for our sins. We also repair and clean our souls through confession and through receiving Holy Communion and attending the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And after weeks of these practices, we have the great joy of celebrating Christmas and Easter, which are all the more rewarding because of the effort that we put in the weeks preceding. This is all in proportion to how much space we're able to open in our hearts for our Lord to dwell. In a week, we'll be celebrating another of the greatest feasts of the liturgical year, the Feast of Pentecost. The descent of the Holy Ghost on Mary the Apostles and the Catholic Church's debut to the world. It's actually right up there with Easter and Christmas in its importance. These are the only three feasts that the Church chooses to celebrate for 8 consecutive days in what we call an octave with special masses. But unlike Christmas and Easter, Pentecost does not have a penitential season that precedes it. This is because Pentecost is like the bookend to the Easter season. It wouldn't be right for the church to enforce a rigorous penitential time during such a joyful period when we're celebrating the time that our Lord spent with his apostles after the resurrection before the ascension. But just because we don't have an Advent or Lent before Pentecost doesn't mean that we're excused from preparing for it, for the coming of the Holy Ghost into our hearts through grace. Of course, the visible Pentecost happened one time. It is over. It was a historical event. But the mission of the Holy Ghost still continues in our hearts. He's still doing in our hearts the same thing that he did to the apostles. He's giving us the same grace that he gave the apostles Peter and Paul, for example. He turned Peter from a timid man who denied our Lord in front of a servant girl to an intrepid, brave preacher of the gospel who converted thousands on Pentecost Day. And he turned St. Paul from a persecutor of Christians into the doctor of the Gentiles. The Holy Ghost is going to give us fortitude to face the trials that we run across in our day-to-day lives as Christians. We've just read about it in the Gospel. Our Lord said that the world would persecute us for our faith. So the Holy Ghost is going to give us that strength, that fortitude to face those trials. The Holy Ghost is the light in darkness and truth in error. We cannot stand without his grace. We cannot resist the tide of error and heresy alike that we see in the modern church, were it not for the grace of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is greater than all the forces of the devil combined. This is why we should pray for his coming. We should pray for his coming for the church. We should pray for his coming into our hearts. But we also have to prepare for it. We still have to get rid of that clutter that might have built up in our hearts. We still have to repair and cleanse our souls. In 7 short days, we'll be celebrating Pentecost. This is our warning now. If we're going to share in the graces of this feast, it's time to get up and prepare a place for our divine guest. But how are we to do this? To find an answer, let's look back to the first Pentecost. What did the apostles and Our Lady do? After our Lord ascended into heaven, the Acts of the Apostles records that they went to the upper room, where they persevered with each other in one mind in prayer, in union with Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's 4 points here to their preparation, and likewise there should be to ours. First, they went to the upper room. They went where it was silent. They went where they could be recollected. So silence. Second, they prayed. Not only did they prayed in union with each other, in mutual charity. They practiced fraternal love of their neighbor. And they did this all in union with Our Lady. So these are the 4 things that we're going to talk about today. Regarding silence, my friends, we live in a world of constant noise. The world is anything but silent. Constant internet access, music and videos, podcasts, instant messaging, constant business that really has no point. All of these things are constantly bombarding us. They make quiet reflection impossible. And many people of the world turn to these things in order to avoid the pangs of conscience, to put off uncomfortable questions about salvation. But in doing this, they only deceive themselves. The noise is really an evil thing. It's a trick of the devil. The examples and lessons of the saints tell us that silence is an absolute prerequisite. We need it, and if we're going to pray to God as we ought, if we're going to have union with God. Noise works up our passions. It distracts us. It prevents us from seeing clearly and disturbs our peace of mind. In the Old Testament, when Elias was looking for God on Mount Horeb, and he was running from the persecution of an evil king and queen, he found God not in earthquakes or in the storms, but in the gentle breeze, and so it is with us. We can only hear God. God only comes to a heart that is not dissipated, that is not full of noise. So as we prepare for Pentecost, it's important that we make an effort to step back from the hustle and bustle of the world as much as we can. Perhaps we work in it. Perhaps we can't leave it physically, but we can leave it in our heart. We can give up listening to music or podcasts or whatever we listen to this week. Perhaps maybe when we're in the car trying to say a rosary instead. We can at least choose to listen to sacred music or sermons instead. If you can, try to avoid talking when it's not necessary, shooting the breeze, as it's said. Especially try to avoid words of uncharity or talking about other people. That's all spiritual clutter. These are things that we don't want in our souls. And remember that our Lord did say that we will have to render an account for every idle word. Only a silent heart will be able to listen to the Holy Ghost. But a passive removal of noise won't be enough for us. We have to do something positive. After the example of the apostles and Our Lady, we have to pray. Prayer is the breath of the soul. And if we don't pray enough, we'll begin to spiritually suffocate. We will spiritually die. God promises all the graces that we need to save our souls, but He only promises it to those who ask, to those who pray. Our Lord tells us to pray at all times, and St. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. This is all the more necessary as we prepare for the Feast of Pentecost. We can only hope for the gifts of the Holy Ghost if we pray for them with humility and devotion. That's why we have the novena that we pray after Mass. And if you're not able to attend Mass during the week, I encourage you to pray the Pentecost novena at home with your families. So this week it would be a good point to try to say your morning and prayers with greater devotion. Say it on your knees if you don't do that already, ideally with your family. Obviously, we want to make a habit of these things, but let's especially make a good effort this week. Be sure to pray your rosary daily and try to attend Mass as frequently as possible. Spend a moment reflecting on the prayers of the novena and meditate upon the words there and pray to God about them. Pray to God about the gifts of the Holy Ghost that we wish to receive on Pentecost. Try also to go to confession at some point this week. Receive communion as often as you can. Frequent the sacraments. The sacraments are God's way of giving us the grace of the cross. It's like the spigot. The grace is the water that comes out of the water spigot. And the sacraments are what turns that on. That's how the Holy Ghost is going to come into our souls. It's very important that we receive the sacraments. And I encourage you also to join some small sacrifices to your prayers, like during Lent, to show your love for God and your willingness to amend for your sins. And that being said, Prayer alone is not going to be sufficient to draw down the grace of God. St. Peter tells us in the epistle today to watch in prayer, but before all things, have a constant mutual charity amongst yourselves. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of love. He will not enter into a heart that does not know how to love its neighbor. As the spiritual writer has put it, just as water paralyzes the action of fire, so does lack of charity paralyze the action of the Holy Ghost. If we're going to prepare worthily for his coming, we need to make a point of exercising true love of neighbor, as this is the surest pledge of our love of God. So this week, let's make a special efforts to avoid rash judgments about those around us, giving in to natural dislike we may have for some people, saying sharp or rude words to others, or making jokes at the expense of others. All of these things form obstacles to the grace of the Holy Ghost. Instead of doing these things, make an effort to pray for others, for those who might frustrate you, for the conversion of sinners. Help your neighbors out indeed, if possible. Comfort those who may be sad. Obey promptly and without complaining to those who may be above you. St. Paul tells us that if we bear one another's burdens, we shall fulfill the law of Christ. And if we make a genuine effort to do this, whatever that may be, we can rest assured that we're doing our part and that the Spirit of love will bless our efforts. The last point of our preparation for Pentecost that I would like to discuss is union with Mary. Yesterday we celebrated the great feast of her queenship, closing out the month of May, where we especially venerated her with particular devotion. Our trust and confidence in our Blessed Lady and her intercession is no idle thing, my friends. It's not just something that belongs to Catholic culture. It's really a truly powerful weapon against the powers of darkness and our fallen human nature. Mary is the Mother of God and of Christ the King. She was the new Eve who, by her absolute obedience, reversed the disobedience of our first Eve, of our first mother. She merited with and subordinated to her Son our salvation at the foot of the cross. She, through Jesus, crushed the head of the serpent. And to fulfill her mission as the Mother of God, she was elevated by God above all the other daughters of men. To fulfill her mission worthily, she was conceived immaculate, without the least stain of sin. She was so that Satan could never claim that she was ever under his power. She is full of grace, immeasurably more gifted than the highest of the angels. She was assumed body and soul into heaven, where she reigns next to her divine Son, passing all graces through her hands to us, interceding most powerfully for us. It's the will of God that all graces pass from her hands to ours. Truly, she is a marvel of the love of God, and she's also our mother. When the apostles left the Mount of the Ascension, they ran to her loving care and protection, seeking her prayers and guidance. We too have to do the same thing as we prepare for Pentecost. Continue your May devotions if you can, just at home, a little bit longer. Lay yourselves at her feet and trust in her help. Strive for greater silence, prayer, and a greater mutual charity under her care and her guidance. She will not fear to help you. She will not fail to hear you. Never was it known that anyone who fled to her help or sought her care was left unaided. So, my dear friends in Christ, as the Feast of Pentecost approaches, I encourage you to go in spirit with the apostles to the upper room, to persevere in one mind, in prayer, in union with Our Lady, Mary, the Mother of Jesus. Make a good effort to clean up the clutter in your soul. Wash it of its stains, and open up your heart to receive the grace of the Holy Ghost. May we be faithful unto the end in the Spirit, who comes from the Father and the Son, to take up his abode in our hearts, in our souls, to sanctify us like he did the apostles, perhaps in a more hidden and gradual way, but in a very real way nonetheless. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.